everyone. This is Michelle Birdie, and you're listening to The Wordsworth from the Moscow Times. For most secular Westerners, Easter is a religious holiday connected, somewhat mysteriously, with a rabbit that brings pastel-colored eggs and perhaps dim memories of lightweight suits and fresh white shirts, or white cotton gloves, a straw hat, and brand new Mary Janes, very stiff patent leather shoes with a single strap that always, always left a blister on each heel. Not so for Orthodox Christian Russians, who celebrate Easter with the most joyful and colorful religious service of the year, feasting and celebrating with family and friends. The season actually begins with the last pre-Lenten splurge of Maslenitsa, which was first a pagan holiday to celebrate the rebirth of the warming sun, and then morphed into a kind of Russian Mardi Gras of blinis, served with the next 40 days' worth of butter and sour cream. Then comes Lent, called in Russian Veliki Post, the Great Fast, since it is the strictest of all the many fasts in the Orthodox calendar. No alcohol, milk, eggs or meat, and fish only on special occasions. Postnaya masla, literally fasting oil, is vegetable oil, that is, not butter. Some people even use postny sakhar, unrefined sugar, since bone ash, an animal byproduct, is used in the refining process. Russian conveniently groups all forbidden foods into the phrase skoromnaya pishcha, that is, food not to be eaten during a fast. In pre-revolutionary times, Russian cookbooks had entire chapters of Lenten foods, чтобы можно принимать гостей достойно, so that one could entertain guests properly. Today, vegetarians and vegans revel in these 40 days, since Moscow restaurants offer postnaya menu, a Lenten menu, for the observant. In Russia's northern climes, Palm Sunday is, of course, not Palm Sunday, but Verbnaya Voskresenye, Pussy Willow Sunday. It is considered good luck to beat someone with a branch of pussy willows. Это не я бью тебя, верба тебя бьет. It's not me beating you, it's the pussy willow. This is the start of Strasnaya Nedelya, Passion Week, in which each day is called Veliki, great, such as Velikaya Pyatnitsa, Good Friday. In observant Orthodox homes, it is a tortuous week. Even stricter fasting, combined with the temptations of shopping for and cooking the delicacies of the Easter feast to come. The main delights are Pascha, usually just transliterated as Pascha, or sometimes called just a sweet potted cheese, and kulichi, round yeast sweetbreads, but also the full array of food and drink that were proscribed by the Lenten fast. In Russian, both Passover and Easter are Pascha. This can create some confusion when someone tells you his neighbor is celebrating Yevreiskaya Pascha, Jewish Easter, or Pesach. But in fact, the two words are related through complicated linguistic threads. The English word Easter is a bit of an outlier among European languages, but there is still a remnant of Pesach and Pascha in English. Paschal refers to both holidays and to the Paschal lamb served on both tables. Late Saturday night, families attend the long midnight Easter service, which culminates in the Kresny Chod, procession of the cross. The congregation circles the church three times, symbolizing the disciples' search for Christ's body, which was not in the tomb. When Easter Day is finally here, you greet your neighbor with Christos Voskresye, Christ is risen, to which he replies, Воистину Воскресе, truly he is risen. This exchange is accompanied by three kisses, and is called Christosavatsa. Usually families gather to break the long Lenten fast immediately after the service. To partake of the midnight feast is razgavljatsa, and was traditionally, before the revolution, one of the few meals where servants and masters shared the same table. Russians don't have Easter bunnies, nor can I ever explain to them why we do. But they do have colored Easter eggs. And they have egg rolling contests, which are called katat yaitsa. Another game is beat yaitsa, egg cracking contests, in which the opponents smash their eggs together and the winner is the one whose shell remains whole. These games are played with krashenaya yaitsa, colored eggs, but never with pisenki, the elaborately decorated Ukrainian and Western Slavic Easter eggs. These are so dear, they were once a synonym for beloved or beautiful. Pisenka ti maya. Yitso, the egg, is a thing of beauty and the food of gods. Okay, I made up the bit about the gods. But down here on Earth, people like eggs. And I think it's fair to say that Russian people especially like eggs. This used to be very clear back in the days before suburban supermarkets, when at the dacha you fed the family only what you hauled out from the city. And so, on Friday afternoons, every second car leaving the city had a big box of eggs balanced on the back window ledge, safe from rowdy dogs and antsy children. For the record, the egg consists of skorlupa, the shell, zheltok, the yolk, and belok, the white. At breakfast, your Russian hosts might ask how you want your eggs, and they'll offer you some rather poetic possibilities. Smyatku, soft-boiled, from the now archaic word mysti, to mix up. Presumably what you can do with a mushy egg. Vmeshochik, a medium-boiled egg, when the soft yolk is in a pouch. Here, the pouch is the firm white that surrounds it. Krutuyu, hard-boiled. Yishnitsa glazunya, fried eggs, from the image of an eye, glas. Or yishnitsa baltunya, scrambled eggs, from the verb baltat, to mix or beat something. The humble, hard-boiled egg can also be called krutoye yitso and is a standard staple at picnics. Someday, someone will explain why a boiled egg sprinkled with salt, so disdained in the kitchen, is transformed into the most delicious food on a riverbank. Now, you should know that in most cases with eggs, you simply use the verb pair jest-sjest, to eat, although you can also say vypit, to drink, which is what you do with a raw egg. Well, not you, but some people, usually very hungry or very hungover people. Eating eggs has given us an expression that I found very puzzling at first. Не стоит выеденного яйца. Literally, it's not worth an eaten egg. The phrase выеденное яйцо, literally eaten egg, means something worthless, trifling, or of no concern. Now, why would a nourishing, consumed egg be worthless? It turns out that the выеденное яйцо refers to what's left over after you eat an egg, the cracked and useless shell. In American English, the equivalent in worthlessness is a plugged nickel, that is, a nickel with a plug in the center, after the valuable metal had been removed. Все эти секреты яйца выеденного не стоят. All those secrets aren't worth a plugged nickel. Russians raise their children with a little parable about eggs and hens. When a young'un gets too big for his britches and starts lecturing his elders, the elders say, Яйца курицу не учит, literally, eggs don't teach the chicken. In English, this is often expressed by the odd phrase, Don't teach your grandmother to suck eggs. I guess grandma drank down her raw breakfast egg. And then there's the peeled egg, облупленное яйцо, or облупленное яичко, this is a nice metaphor for something clearly known, the bare egg you see under the wrapping of the shell. Some etymologists believe that this is the source of the phrase «знать как облупленного», to know someone inside out, another phrase uttered by elders to upstart kids. «И тебя, и Андрушку знаю как облупленных. Кого вы хотите обмануть?» I can see right through you and Andrushka. Who do you think you're fooling? And then there's the tricky bit with яйца. In Russian, they are what Spanish speakers call cojones and what English speakers call balls. If you don't know this, you can get into some very interesting conversations. Way back in the old days, before there were dictionaries of Russian obscenities or internet sites where you could find it all out, we had to learn naughty words the hard way. In most cases, this meant using the word to the horror or hilarity of everyone around us. And so it was with those tricky яйца. During the Soviet period, an American friend came to a party, and she began by telling us about a very puzzling experience she'd had on the metro. She'd been standing in a crowded car. In front of her, there was a man sitting, and he was holding 10 eggs wrapped in a paper cone. Remember, this was the Soviet Union before egg cartons. He was a bit drunk, but he politely offered her his seat. Because he was tipsy, she replied, also very politely, «Не-не-не, сидите, ведь у вас яйца. No, please sit. After all, you've got eggs». The passengers giggled, she said. We smirked. She went on to say that he insisted. And to show her gratitude, my friend said that she wanted to be really, really polite. So, before taking the seat that he had proffered, she said, «Хорошо, я сяду, но тогда позвольте мне подержать ваши яйца». «Okay, fine, I'll sit down, but at least allow me to hold your eggs». The man with the cone of eggs was now winking at her. The passengers were rolling on the floor with laughter. So were we at that point. My friend was incredibly frustrated. «Что в этом такого смешного? What's so funny about this?» And then she went on. «Все-таки москвичи очень милые. Подумаешь. Он подарил мне шоколад, просто потому что я подержала в метро его яйца». «Московites are really very nice. Just think, he gave me a chocolate bar just because I held his eggs in the metro». Now replay the scene in New York with a guy holding a bunch of tennis balls. So that's the Easter story, from the sublime to the extremely ridiculous. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to keep our funny stories and great articles coming. We appreciate it. Have a good week and stay safe. До встречи на следующей неделе. Пока!